Blog Talk Radio.
Hopefully we're doing well. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Sweet Pea, and I am with, well, I am Sweet Discussions. I'm with All Poetry, one of the largest poetry groups on the internet, and inside that, I am with Team of Voices, one of the wonderful groups with inside of All Poetry. We're having a lot of fun writing poetry, discussing poetry, and chit-chatting on the radio every once in a while. Hope everybody is ready to have a good night. Tonight's discussion is Alice in Wonderland, interpreted by the paintings of Salvador Dali. Very excited to talk about that tonight. I'm here with my co-host tonight, who was hopefully going to be Jay Hatter, but he's out not feeling really well. But I am very, very excited to welcome one of my favorite literary geniuses, who knows anything ever to know about a book or a movie, and that is Sky. Hello, Sky.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I see you're nice and full of energy tonight. I was dancing on your opening. That's a cute little song. Sweet Pea. I've heard it before, but I forgot.
Yes. You know, I love that song because it was debuted on my birthday, January 9th, 1966. So, yeah.
Oh.
That's one of my favorites. I know. It's, I should know it by heart. And I, for some strange reason, it's like totally like I have it memorized and now it's like off my head. I cannot believe I can't even remember the guy's name.
Oh,
oh no, I'm gonna get killed. Yeah, I can't remember. Oh no, that's so Tommy Rowe. Tommy Rowe was Sweet Pea. Duh. I know the guy's name right off my Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm really going to be singing it.
I know. So, yeah, 1966, the same year I was born. Yeah. So they even have, like, a little anime on YouTube called Won't You Dance With Me, and it's really, really cute. So Anybody want to check that out?
Did you really know? Did you know something?
I know why. Yes. I didn't know.
Did you know this proved to be a comeback single for Roe, as it was the first top 40 hit in 2 years and was recorded after he finished a stint in the Army?
I did not know that.
I know.
I'm just all excited. It's about me. And it was, you know, released the same year I was. Everything is about me.
Did you also know that the song was recorded in Los Angeles and had some of the top musicians of their day, Benny Benet and Mike Beasy on the guitar, and Jerry Sheff on bass, and Jim Troxel and Toxie French on drums, and Butch Parker and Ken on keyboard?
Did you not get the point that this is all about me?
Oh, sweet pea.
That's right. See, that's all it takes for me. Oh, sweet pea. All right. So I am very excited that I did not know that Salvador Dali was so into Alice in Wonderland. Like, did not know. He was so into this. Like, he did a cast of Alice in Wonderland. And it's like a little cast you can buy, but I'm trying to remember. He did, it's called Alice in Wonderland. Just amazing. But it's actually something that you can buy right now. It's just beautiful. And but you can buy little statues of it. And I know that I have all kinds of artwork that you guys can choose from. And I'm sure you looked at it because you're a poem by it. But did you notice that in each one of them, there's a little picture of her jumping rope? And I've been trying to find what that symbolizes. The jumping of the Alice jumping rope. And I was wondering if you happen to know.
To know what?
The symbolism of Alice jumping rope in all of his paintings.
Oh, no, I don't know that.
See, this is why I had.
Okay, I have it. Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready? Okay. Yes. It has become a twisted sword symbolizing everyday life. Her hands in the air have blossomed into roses, symbolizing feminine beauty and eternal youth. Oh, this is a sculpture. This is looking at Dali's sculpture for Alice. I guess he did Alice in Wonderland sculpture as well. So perhaps he brought it into his paintings to be symbolizing, become a twisted cord, symbolizing everyday life. Yeah. And so obviously a feminine beauty and eternal youth.
So in each one of the paintings everyone picked, that symbol or that sculpture he did is also integrated in every painting. Hello. Hello, 1111.
That's Rack on Tour.
Hello. How are you, sweet? Is that Sky?
That is Sky. My literary genius.
Sky. I know, she called me a literary genius. I'm a little...
I do.
Now I've got a lot to live up to.
Yes. And
do you want to know a dark detail about Dali?
Hold on, we don't answer the phone. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't know people were here. They're knocking down the door.
I could tell you what he had for breakfast.
Hello, Wayne.
Hello. I wasn't planning on making the trip tonight, but I thought I'd get out and get some fresh air.
How is my breath of fresh air?
Fresh.
We're talking Salvador Dali. Yeah. Salvador Dali. Okay, what's the dark piece about Salvador Dali?
Yeah, that's right.
It's dark, dark. You sure you want it?
Okay.
Yes,
I'm
yes, darker
sure
the better.
All right, well, he believed he was a reincarnation of his brother that died. And when he was, when the framed artist, he told his parents he took his brother from the grave. And then as he gets older, you'll start to see themes and influences of his brother in all his work, especially in his 1963 Portrait of My Dead Brother. But you'll see the influences, and it later influenced a lot of his work.
Wow. Craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, why don't we start, obviously, with poetry? So I'm going to throw my craziness on the board. I want Theta Llama. You're cracking me up. I'm going to throw a little bit of poetry on the board. We're going to start with my insane poetry of a lovely advice from a caterpillar, because I do love this painting. I don't know why I particularly fell in love with this one, but I did. And I want to once again mention that the little girl jumping rope, or Alice, as he calls her in his statue that he made, is in this painting. If you look at all the paintings, you'll see the shadow of that in each one of the paintings. So this is advice from a caterpillar. One peculiar day, the caterpillar smoked a hookah in a Jimi Hendrix psychedelic haze. Atop a mushroom fungus, he declared, "I'm the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious advisor among us." He demanded, "Sit down, I advise you to heed." A pink smoke yield the theme. Don't give a wolverine a tambourine, and poem.
It's just kind of crazy. I love how you brought in, you got to go kind of crazy, Alice, here. I loved how you brought in Jimi Hendrix. If you think about Jimi Hendrix, you think of the 70s, carefree, I'm going to be smoking the hookah all day. So, and you also think of the 70s, you think of psychedelic waves because there was the rush of, you know, everything like that. So I loved how you brought in here the mushroom fungus, brilliant brevity. I am impressed that you did a brevity. I gotta make sure I say that. And when you get to the end, the tambourine, that is pretty cool, especially the wolverine, the tangerine. A wolverine, a tangerine, tramp. I really can't say that. Hold on. Now it's a mission. Wolverine, a tangerine, tambourine. Oh my goodness, love it. That was hard, and it wasn't even S's, and it was hard. This was brilliant and fun. Awesome. All right, what do you think?
Yeah, I like the Wolverine, Tangerine, Tambourine too. The alliteration was lovely, and the mention of Hendrix, you know, probably being just slightly older than you, you know, she says Hendrix, I go straight to Purple Haze, because, you know, that was like the song that, one of the songs he was most known for too. You know, that spoke of the drugs, but it also spoke of his ability, because when he played that song, you know, everyone was like agog. It was really phenomenal. Really, I mean, the whole piece is very psychedelic, just like the era that you mentioned, and you know, it's befitting of a Dali painting. Well, like I postured on the board, you know, if you were a painter instead of a poet, you'd be a surreal killer.
Thank you.
Do you see how we had to say the last line right away to show me up? Thanks, Rack. Wayne, what do you think?
I didn't get to hear the poem. I'm getting ready to read it now. I had to go get a beer. I didn't. I've been trying to. I just got in the house. I got to get settled. I'm getting ready to read
Wing,
here in a minute.
I'm just
settling in.
For you, Wing. It's
yeah,
a brevity.
Yeah,
okay.
I heard it's brevity. Sounds like it's
pretty,
pretty interesting.
Okay. One peculiar day, a caterpillar smoked a hookah in a Jimi Hendrix psychedelic haze atop a mushroom fungus. He declared, "I'm the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious advisor among us." He demanded, "Sit down, my advice you should heed." As pink smoke filled the scene, "Don't give a wolverine a tangerine tambourine." And pulp.
Wow. I was there at the time. So I said, it was my day. Purple haze. My days of the purple haze. Yeah, and Dalai Lama. Yeah, it was very interesting, very good poem, and very good poem. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed your read. And I'm kind of out of it tonight, so I'm kind of laying back. I wrote a poem once with Dalai Lama, Mary, and Lady Gaga, and I'm trying to find it. So, that's what
awesome.
I know about Dalai Lama. So anyway, it's good excellent brevity, and it reminds me of my childhood when I was during the 70s, when it was my highlight of my life was the 70s. So that was very good, and brought back a lot of memories. Great job.
Ah, thank you. Everybody say hello to Deb.
Hey, Deb.
Hello, Deb.
I can't say hi to Deb because it's all about Sweet Pea tonight. She might get mad at me.
Oh, good Lord.
Hello, Sweet Pea.
Hello. My Hatter was having a bad day, so now I have my literary genius, Miss Sky, helping me out, and Phil Hatter comes and says hi and does all his lovely Alice in Wonderland stuff.
Now you know why she was calling me in the middle of your poem, Deb.
Yes. Okay. Hello. That means they have
someone. Hello there, Frank.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing all right there. I didn't have a chance to do it at the film club, so that's the reason why I called in as well for the film that I sent you.
All right. I'm going to ask Deb to hear my poem because it's all about me tonight.
of course it's all about you, sweet. And yes, I heard your poem. And in my opinion, I think that you are a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious advisor among us, too.
Yeah.
I think this is cool. And I love the Wolverine and Tangerine Tambourine. That's a fun
everybody's
little brevity.
Everybody's going up on you, huh?
That's awesome.
I couldn't say that for the life of me, Deb. Bless your heart.
All right. Hold on one second. I gotta answer the studio here.
Unmuted.
Hello, 916.
Hey.
Hey.
Unmuted.
How are you, Hatter? Yes, unmuted.
Oh, I
and one more I've got to say.
I can be bad.
Hold on, I got. Oh, sorry, honey.
Okay.
Let's welcome AP. Hello, AP.
Hello.
Hello. Heather, Sky jumped in to help us too. She's our literary genius. So I've got a double co-host.
Double co-host.
Excited about
it's
it.
Me.
I'm not.
Yes,
I'm just kind of here.
Double co. Oh, she's brilliant. Don't let her lie to you. All right. So who's jumping for time right now?
I can be on there for about 10 minutes. I would say 10-15. All max.
Right. Well, then let's throw you up.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And your next AP, you got to go to?
Oh, no, AP's
got
to
go.
I can wait. I can wait
sweet,
for AP. He can go before me.
Sweet. Can you look at your messages really quick? Can you just check your inbox
for me? Do it now.
While you're
home, I'll just hold on. Yep.
Everyone's talking to me at once. Stop talking to me. It hurts my head.
You have 2 ears.
I know,
I'm
I have 2
there.
Ears, but I only have one mind to process it. Okay. All right. So we have Frank up, right? No, we don't. So
all right. You want me to go then? All right. Then I'll go ahead and go then.
Yeah, but I got.
This is.
I have to put your poem on the board before you can go. So
all
that's the whole problem. Is I have to go into a room and I have to go down there and I have to find you and, you know, I have to talk among yourselves. But I think I have it, and then we'll do that. And it's Alice and the Rabbit Part 2, which I believe you wrote Alice and the Rabbit Part 1. Earlier,
yes,
was
that
brilliant.
Was the one I sent the other day to Deb's show on Monday.
Yeah, that was really good. What the heck am I doing? All right, there you go. You're up there.
All right.
All right.
Is just another brief. Right. It's another brief chapter there. So it's just everyone knows, just another brief chapter of this little storyline. I'm going to go. It's called Alice and the Rabbit Part 2, and it goes like this. Through the poppy marshmallows of a platinum path, Alice followed the rabbit till she reached three signs and an edge of an intersection of three rows that converged, whereupon she was completely lost and uncertain of what to do next. She had lost the trail of the agile white rabbit that she had pursued. Shortly, she found herself standing before a figure with dark spectacles, seated upon one of the wide realms of mauve and murnut mushrooms, a cunning country shrew that had heard her talking to herself out loud. She had pondered for a wee bit, where did that rabbit vanish to? The shrewd shrew through blind of blind was so wise in its foreboding words told, and that it instructed the young Alice not to follow the rabbit any longer. For if she did, she would end up lost in either the maze of peppermint sticks, or in the molded moss of the marsh of the glooms, or in the bones of bricks. Thus a strong gust from the west brought a sudden whirlpool of rain, causing Alice to seek refuge in one of the paths of unknown mysteries, for in a haste she chose the path of the maze of chewy peppermint sticks, as the shrew had scampered back into its familiar interest hole once more. The towering peppermint sticks were enough to confuse Alice in her tracks. She had found herself lost in the depth of the chasty maze straight away. But up in the periwinkle sky were pretty pink flamingos passing by after the rain. As Alice had grown weary, and her smile became a sigh, then lapsed into the sullens. Alice had seen them and called out from them with the hope they would rescue her. And they did, taking her away from the drenching drops of the crystallized dew, onto the beautiful and majestic place of the valley of the honeydews and snails, where she woke up to the sweet smell of the emerald color of their fresh taste. End of poem.
Oh, beautiful. I like all, again, just like you do with the first one, all the detail, all the wonderful stuff that's in there. I'm glad you got that, so much of that from the, you know, picture and everything that you were doing. This one is very vivid with the jump rope and with the sculpture that he did about the tangled and the everyday and her innocence, and that's why he has this the jump roping. Sky and I kind of talked about at the beginning of the show and what it represents. And in all the paintings he does, he has this figure of her jumping the rope. And the rope signifies the complexities and all that of life. And her being jumping it is just the innocence of everyday life and stuff. And you kind of go through of how this is all, you know, before a figure with dark spectacles set it upon one of the wide rows of mom and merlite mushrooms. So there's a little bit of the darkness in there, and then the darkness and then the shadows. And so you did kind of follow that through, and I really like that because that's kind of Dolly's thoughts of it and through all of that. So I really enjoyed that part of it, let alone the whole story of it. I thought you did a really great job on that, Frank. And
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Sarah. And
Dolly
was a favorite mine as well.
Yes. And Hatter, your thoughts on that?
And this went right on a list. This carries on very well. The imagery you brought up with the words you chose and the metaphors, it was very animated. Very good.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I can't even say the word.
Yeah, I like
thank
the
you
way
very
it,
much.
I like the way the yeah, the maze of chewy peppermint sticks. Yeah.
Yeah, it's another word for candy canes, like peppermint candy canes.
Sure. Sure. Just yeah. Excellent.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much there, my friend.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
I really liked the poem a lot. This first time I heard him read a poem that wasn't scary or just so dramatic that I would just wanted to cry. So it was nice to hear a nice, pleasant poem from Frank again. Great job, Frank. I enjoyed the poem a lot. Good job.
Oh, thank you there, Wayne. If you want, I could have made him dark there, the rabbit with those big old teeth.
Oh, no. We don't need more dark.
Next time I'll write one of those for you. Okay. Thank you very much.
Keep it cool.
Okay.
AP, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's in terms of the form, it's a little bit, because things keep on coming back and forth at you, it reminds me a little bit of a sustainer, you know, where the lines keep on repeating in different ways. And the challenge of that form is to have something that is specific enough that so that when you repeat it, it means different things. And that's what Frank's managed to achieve here with things like the peppermint sticks and they mean different things because they're in different contexts. And it's very cleverly put together.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, then, my friend.
And Raconteur, your comment?
Yeah, it's very enjoyable, Frank. I like the storyline. I like that you brought in the shrew. That is a different dimension to it for me, but you know, that's just the way my warp mind works. The shrew and the peppermint sticks, and that idea kind of shades the story a little bit for me. Really enjoyable.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, there, my friend. I just added a little bit of creativity as well into this piece. I'm thinking of branching this off into a short story version of my own, adding just some different details in their storyline there. But I have to say that Sweet and Deb inspired me for this piece and the other piece of the night.
Well, thank you. And Deb, if you want to make the last comment and read your poem.
Sure. I'm going to go right down to the stanza that's got periwinkle in there. And I like the towering peppermint sticks were enough to confuse Alice in her tracks. And she had found herself lost in the depth of the tasty maze straight away. But up in the periwinkle sky were pretty pink flamingos. There's something like, but up in the periwinkle sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a pink flamingo. I thought that was cute, but I liked it, the details, and I have to say I cracked up when Wayne said sometimes you scare him so much he wants to cry. it's just a compliment to your wording and your reading. Great sharing.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. And I said, and I'll repeat, thank you for the inspiration for this piece you and Sweet the other day. It made me think about getting back into writing short stories of this nature, you know, fantasy a bit.
It was a fun share. Okay. And Sweet, because of some of the content in my bedtime story for you, I changed the setting on your show. If it doesn't show, just refresh your studio.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
And, this is called If the Teacup is Marked with Drink Me. Here we go. Two little eyes spy Sweet Pea and Jay the Hatter at the herb garden past the clover fields, picking purple buds off plants with green leaves. They walk into shade from the cypress trees. Now cannabis cologne hits surfing on the air, mixed with marshmallows riding a breeze. the Hatter ducked into the bushes, laughing as smoke plumes hover over the garden air. See the hare inhaling fried green leaves? He glows neon red from his bloodshot stare. And nobody's eyes are spotting Alice anywhere. Sweet and Hatter sits smoking skunk with a plump caterpillar and a purring bumblebee. Then this toadstool tap dance kicks off light trails from sipping mugs of grown mushroom tea. Hatter whispers the joke he heard in 1976 to the cocoa brown bug that looks like Styx riding on the white rabbit like a bug rodeo rider. Traveling to the Queen's Cherry Tart Buffet, struck by the munchies, they nab a seat for supper. Giggles echo from the wooded lot, then down points to up and dry splashes wet. And we are late, but we are early, or is the clock running late? Winds blow and the meadowland quakes. Then giant tree lobster rock climbers drop exoskeletons that rain on the dinner table as every armchair breaks. They all tumble underground as Ball's pyramid shakes, sliding in tunnels down the white rabbit's hole, beneath volcanic rock with no saltwater wakes. Dandelion tines are perfuming, and a mustached man with a monocle writes paperback rhyme, then paints lithographs as he hears the poetry, reads the poetry with thick fog rotating overhead, tinted neon lime. Salvador the tabby struts, staring at Sweet, jump roping with the matchstick shadow that farts as it skips, then trips over rat-stained blue and fat that flips, wiggling hyena ears and curled snail tail with two tats. Little fangs gnaw the ham shank from the pink truffle pig swatted by the claws of Dolly, the big grinning pig. Snakes slither in, hissing, then Sweet jumps up to beat some to death with a bat. As blood droplets scatter, red graffiti splatters on the Hatter. She and he then scramble out of the cave, spotting and then trailing a fellow, trotting down a winding road made of bricks and painted with yellow. And
oh, wow. This is just fantastic. I mean, imagery and the story and everything that me and Hatter are doing, and from Spoke Nagaja to things we're seeing, I love that I'm beating the hell out of snakes. Sorry I got blood on you, Hatter. That is the way it is. I love your 1976 jokes, by the way. Bug radios, nobody eyes are spotting Alice anywhere. I'm inhaling fried green tomatoes. Cannabis cologne might be a bit much, but hey, we got a seat at the table. Oh, wow, this is just so good. Salvador the tubby struts in, staring at Sweet jumping rope. I put a little blurb about what jumping that rope means at the bottom of your poem. So that's very interesting, FYI, of what that actually means, because now I'm paranoid and psychotic. But I'm all right with that. This is just beautiful, Deb. I really love it. It's already on my list of the best of Deb. And, yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous imagery. I love what you got out of that painting. I think he was just insane and crazy the way he mixed that. And I think he had to be a little bit of the ganja or whatever he was smoking or doing, or maybe he was cold sober while he did this. But his interpretation and your interpretation are just, to me, brilliant on both sides of it. Let's go to Mr. Hatter. Your thoughts on
it? I'm so happy you liked it.
Wow, yeah, this was outstanding. Did you use a word bank, anything like that?
Just my brain and that photo. And I went with that one to just for an excuse to write about the stick bug again.
I see many images, different images in that picture.
Yeah, right. Well, look at the little tiny patch of blue. It looks like a little rat, and it looks like he's got a snail tail, and it looks like he's got hyena ears, so I just started looking at the weird stuff he put on the board and or on his lithograph and just threw a whole bunch of descriptions on there like I tell you guys to do, and then I threaded all the pieces into this wacky story. All in an effort to make Sweet laugh, because tonight is all about Sweet.
So,
all about
Sweet,
Alice,
Kate, when did they find?
I know.
When did they find these pictures?
I really don't know. I've read different dates and different times. There's actually a book. It's not that. It's just that they rarely release them. I've got all different stories about it.
When I went to do homework
for you, Sweet, the thing I found said that these were images that he wrote, that he made specifically for Carol, but that they weren't exactly what he had in mind for how they would look the book. So these could have wound up being the art in the Alice in Wonderland book, but they were just...
not to his liking.
Yeah, they were too abstract, I would say, you know.
Right.
But I thought that was pretty cool. Can you imagine how what happened was, you know, I think that Dolly and Sweet would have had a really good time together, because if I remember correctly, what I read was that the images were just a wee bit darker than Lewis thought he wanted to go with this storyline, so... I ran with that and made you a nightmare bedtime story with blood splatter.
What I understand, though, is I've seen there's been copies of books where that actually have just his drawings, and I've seen prints that have been available, and then I've seen that these were lost. So I've seen different things back and forth, but I've never, read. So there's so many different articles. So I haven't been able to come out and say, oh, this is when they were discovered or this is when they were let out. I've just seen them as the lost. So I don't want to come out and say this is the exact date, because I haven't been able to find one solid article that says this is this and this is that. So I don't want to do that. And so if anybody find it, let me know.
It's the perfect gimmick for art, for that kind of art, is to create a story like this and then – bam, all of a sudden you got buyers. I like to know how many pictures, too. Or is that the total collection?
I believe this is the total collection. From what I've seen, these are the only pictures I've seen.
I can see some of the genius in it. Do you remember interviews with him on, Dick Cavett? The guy had a screw loose, man. He was an odd dude. So did Dolly. Anyway, check out the video with Dick Cavett. And a lot of the cartoons...
Well, the article that says it was 1969 has a link in my author's notes, but just because it was on the internet doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
What do you mean? Of course it is. You can't trust anything anymore. Be aware. But gotta be. Yeah, didn't he go through a bunch of eggs? Did he do eggs and melting things? Clocks.
The melting clocks. Yeah, that's one of the most famous ones.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he did some sculptures, some different eggs or something that were. Yeah, he was odd.
Yeah.
Can I read mine next?
Can I get some more comments?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Thanks. Can I get a comment from Mr. AP?
Ah, hi there. I actually thought it was really interesting there, because it was sort of like... a combination of Alice in Wonderland and We're Off to See the Wizard. And that was sort of cool. And then I sort of thought, well, Sweet's obviously Dorothy, and Hatter must be the Scarecrow. And then I wondered who was the Tin Man, and I went on a complete sort of, you know, change of sort of scenery. But I really liked it because I did that, you know. I thought it was really cool.
Thank you.
And then if I can get Wayne.
Yes. This is wonderful. I enjoyed the poem all through. He's a Sweet and Hatter smoking some skunk. That is the 70s. And drink some homemade mushrooms. why was I invited for that? And I love the line, scatter red and graffiti splatter on the hatter. Yeah, the skunk weed and the mushroom tea is pretty much that's 1970s. I can't believe Hatter's still telling that same old joke, though. And Dolly needs to keep his eyes on Sweet. And this one was wonderful and really entertaining, and I was smiling all the way through. Great job there, Deb. And I found
that
my poem when I was heading.
Thank you, and trust me, yes, he's still telling that joke, right, Hatter?
It's like you're following me. Hold on.
Somebody's screwing me up.
Yeah.
Rosa.
Yeah, you can go line by line and follow me.
All right, and
nice
then
right
if I can,
yeah,
Rack and Tor, your thoughts.
I still love the story, Deb. I was kind of with AP when you started naming all the different things, going through the casting call, trying to figure out who was who and whatnot. And I in my head, I was screaming, "Save the tea, save the tea!" When the rain was coming, and it wasn't an alliteration. The backwards reference that you made to the splatter, that was brilliant. I love when people do something like that, and you could carry that thought through and make it make sense. You know, the wet dry reference, the way you flip them around. I thought that was really genius. That was great. But the whole thing was beautiful too. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you, Rack. And the reason that I went with the cats is because, for one, when I was reading about this collection, Salvador Dali said he painted it through the eyes of the cat. He was the cat. So I named both of the cats, one Salvador and one Dali, to nod to him in there.
Well, he was a cat, man.
I don't know. I didn't think of the characters from Oz until I got to the end when Sweet and Hatter needed somewhere to go because there was blood all over Wonderland. So now it's time to follow the Yellow Brick Road, per se. But, yeah, the Caterpillar was there and the Queen of Hearts tarts were there. And, hey, it rhymes with farts, so it all worked out.
Now, was that why the rating changed?
Hi.
It might have been the cologne. It was just
a precaution.
It was just a precaution. Yeah. It sounds good,
it's
though, doesn't it?
Cannabis
cologne, it just fits. So I changed
I'd buy it.
And you know, smoking the skunk, you'd have to have heard the expression before to know the reference, but it still just felt safer to put it with a different rating.
I like that. And Frank, your thoughts, please.
Yes, this piece here really was a remarkable story. I mean, yeah, a very creative piece. There's so many lines, very exquisite lines here, very incredible lines here. I mean, if you can, kudos there for being able to rhyme farts there. I thought that was very witty of you. And the poem was a lovely embodiment there of just that journey there, that mystical, I would say, journey that Sweet and Hatter have, the two characters that could spin off into an animated series there, Sweet Pea and Hatter there, and it would be one heck of an animated storyline there, a series perhaps there of a few chapters there, but I really thought you did an excellent job here. And with that, I'm going to have to say good night, my friends. Take care.
Good night, Frank. Thanks for coming.
Okay.
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care.
Don't dally.
Awesome.
Winners
notice. Yeah, so take care.
Thank you. All right, Hatter.
Yes.
I don't have a poll for you, so you've got it. You're going to have to put it up.
Oh, I didn't post it in the thing? Oh, I thought it did.
All I have is, you have two notes for me, but you didn't put a poem with it. Do you want me to go try
Sounds
to find
pretty
it?
Hatterish.
I can do that.
Okay.
You're late. Horribly late.
All right.
Cute.
You got it? While resting beside a painted rose. And I forgot to put the picture up.
Which one is? Oh, Pool of Tears? Is that the one it is?
Yeah. Pool of Tears.
Just while we're just while we're doing that.
Go ahead.
I can go and purchase a copy of the Lewis Carroll and Salvador Dali original 1969 book with the 12 illustrations by Dali that took him 9 years to do, by the way. And it will only cost me $23,899 plus $17 postage.
Well,
that
there
all?
You go.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like an investment. That's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little.
Wow.
I'm not complaining about the postage at this rate anyway, but there you go.
Yeah. Just a little.
So
I like
think?
That. Just. What did they think about what?
What are we talking about?
The $23,000 it would cost you just to buy that little book. I gotta put up
a
picture now. Oh crap! Oh, my brain is not working, guys. Sorry. All right, you can read
your
poem, and then I'll get your picture up.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. Say what you're going to say. I'll put it up.
Tell us the joke from 1976.
Yeah, what was that joke?
While resting beside a painted rose. While resting beside a painted rose, hiding inside so no one knows how to pick a grain from the ocean sands, there's trouble somewhere in Wonderland. Reaching out to find my way, I turn to wish to hear you say, oceans and kettles and seas and pans, rivers turn puddles at the wave of my hand. Somewhere to cleanse the lines on my face, collecting the signs that point to the place where echoes turn silent and there's nothing to fear, collecting the nightmares from a puddle of tears. Alice, sweet Alice, please tell me you're out there searching for me.
Okay, now I am the puddle of tears. Oh, my God. Or resting beside the painted rose, hiding inside so no one knows. Oh, reaching out to find my way, I turned and wished to hear you say, oh, Alice, sweet Alice, please tell me that you're out there searching for me. Oh, my God, the way you write, oh, just kill me. And then, of course, this is one of your drawings, and it's just beautiful, and this is gorgeous. And Miss Deborah Lee, please speak on behalf of the J. Hatter.
Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking the marshmallow strikes again. and, you know, Hatter, the look in the eyes that you chose for this, it's with what you wrote, and also the puddle of tears that is in the painting, where echoes turn silent and there's nothing to fear, collecting in the nightmares from a puddle of tears. Man, Alice, sweet Alice, please tell me that you're out there searching for me. I have to save this one. It's just a gut punch poem. Making all the girls cry.
Absolutely. Wayne, your thoughts.
Georgie Porgy Hatter.
I think it's a wonderful poem with the immaculate rhyme. There's great rhythm in the poem, and I think I'm going to read this again. It's sad with the jingle. And it's perfect for the theme tonight. Just goes on with the theme tonight, and it's a perfect little poem. Great job, Adder.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Wade.
Sad with the jingle. I like that. And AP, your thoughts?
Well, see, the cleverness of the way this is structured is that, you know, when I read this poem, I read three rhyming, basically AABB stanzas. It's just that they're not written that way with a refrain at the end. And that's why it rhymes so well, because it's a reasonably straight rhyme pattern. It's just not put on the page that way. And because of that, it sort of has a different sort of cadence to it. So it's a bit like having a 2-4 song with a 3-3 beat. And it sort of makes it sort of
edgier. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah? Yeah. It sort of makes it edgier. And it makes it work, and it makes the refrain work really well. So a great example of how to present a poem on a page.
So, Wayne, before I turn the show over to AP for the next half hour, do you have a poem or anything you'd like to read to us?
Well, this I wrote a poem a couple of years back. I remember it was about Lady Gaga and Dolly. So I went 83 pages back in my poems. I finally found it, and I wish I hadn't, because I posted it in the topic room. But it's that bad.
It
what's so bad about it is I got a silver medal out of it, a silver award out of it, because I don't even understand what
well
the point was. I'll read. If you got it posted up there, I'll read it to you and see what y'all think, and y'all can laugh at it.
All right.
It's kind of a stupid poem.
I will do that.
It's called,
to you.
I like that. Okay. Brave. Well done.
It's called I Was There, which is kind of weird. And I remember I was trying to be abstract as Dolly was, and I reckon, or something. I don't know. It's kind of weird. And so, are you reading
for
it?
There it is.
Okay, there it is. Okay. It's called I Was There. I hope I can read this. It goes, saw Salvador Dali and Lady Gaga delegating. They delegated for a while and was amazing. What happened next was really wild. Heard Salvador himself had a child. Whatever they did, they didn't have me. He had only one, but painted three. Bulge on Lady Gaga was not a baby. Bulge just had his pants, maybe. He could paint, was a great surrealist. Gaga can sing, was a great vocalist. I was watching, I'm not a great voyeurist. Baby wouldn't believe, became a pessimist. Ian, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, that's cute.
Okay. I like that he painted three. And Steph, thanks for changing my rating there tonight. Also Salvador's pants, maybe. He couldn't paint, but he was a great surrealist. This is funny and great, and I love the picture of Lady Gaga with her big bug on her face. She's kind of changed the way she looks nowadays. This is hilarious. I was watching, but not a great forest. Well, yeah, this is kind of my kind of rhyming. I really enjoyed this. This was fun. Oh, okay. We'll just start with Deb right away. Deb, your thoughts?
I'm thinking the same thing. Man, I'm glad I changed the rating when we got to Salvador's hands. Just saying. Wayne, I think I've said this once or twice before, you're totally insane, and I love it. I like the Dolly gagging and being Dolly gagged for a while. And I don't even know what Lady Gaga was thinking when she put that on. And leave it to you. Did you put that together with his mustache?
I don't know.
Was it already paired up like that?
No, I think I paired him up. I think somebody paired him up, I think. I'm not really sure, but I think
really, really cool.
Seen him both.
Not a great voyeurist. Baby wouldn't believe. Became a pessimist. You crack me up. And that's the talent. Great cheer.
I can't believe I wrote that.
Because she's a monster.
Whoever they had, they didn't have me.
Oh, my goodness. And Ragnar, your thoughts?
Yeah. This is cute, Wayne. I don't know what possessed you to put Dolly and Lady Gaga together, but, you know, it worked.
I don't know.
I think Dolly had a breast stroke.
I don't know what they did. They had a child.
Yeah, but it wasn't you.
It
wasn't you.
That's right. I don't know what they had, but they didn't hit me.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. And AP, your thoughts.
A really, really cute poem on perspective, this. And that's what surrealism's all about. It's about perspective. And you've got three people. You've got Wayne, you've got Lady Gaga, and you've got Dali. And the perspective keeps on switching from one to the next. And because it's really cleverly done, it just works.
I don't know. It's much different anyway.
No, it works.
And Mr. Hatter, your insane thoughts.
Mr. Chapeau. I'm muted.
He's gone.
He's gone. You have to hear him walk. Heard him walk out the door.
I'm sorry. No, I walked away from the phone. It was muted. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're fine. You missed the surrealist and the voyeurism from.
Oh yeah, you missed it,
Mr. Wayne Chant. Yeah.
I'm a palace
okay,
away again.
I am going to let AP. Go ahead and read some poetry about a few paintings. So I'm giving AP the board right now.
Okay.
Do as you
right
please.
On. We can do that. Well, maybe I'll start with the smallest one first. Because,
okay.
You know, yeah. Because I'll go with the smallest one because that sort of makes sense to start, maybe. And it's the same image that you just put up on the board. So, and I've got to say, when I saw that image, you'll see what I thought. This is scaly, and it goes a little bit like this. Raindrops sing pour with force in the water, intense olive waves off a storm slaughter, as platters do tumble are broken to pieces. Waters reform, as always, progress releases. Here's change, momentum, as purpose to all, these ones aimed into an arrow, not sprawl. The dish shape being driven by a beast fierce. A crocodile onward, their surface will pierce. End poem.
Wow. That's beautiful. You know, obviously this is from the scene where she's like in the hallway growing big, growing small, going through the doors, kind of lost right at the beginning. And at least that's what I believe is what the pool of tears means, the beginning of that scene. And I like Pierce charge momentum as purpose to all these ones aimed into an arrow, not sprawl. I love that those particular lines in particular. Yeah, I like those particular lines in particular. That's a great sentence, Pam. This it's just kind of deep, actually. You kind of took that really emotional side of that piece to me. Very well done, as always. You know,
thank you.
Usually write crappy poetry, so very well done. Hatter, your thoughts on that?
He's muted.
Hatter.
He's
I'm
muted,
buddy. Oh, he is. He's gone. All right. Then Deb, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a really clever brevity, and I really liked the fact that you looked at it and, like, you looked at it as if, like, interpreting clouds, and you saw the gator or the crocodile swimming across water. And it does, after you said it, I looked up and looked like, you know, the gator could be swimming, and those are fish trailing it or something. So it was very interesting that you pulled that crocodile from there. But I just thought it was clever, period. Raindrops seen fall with force in the water. Did a great job with it. I especially like the crocodile, though. I'm pretty taken by the fact that you went with that. Too cool.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
I said, well, after hearing this poem, makes me feel better about my poem. No, I'm just kidding. I can understand. I'm nailing the painting. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it. I can understand the painting by looking at it. It's a great job. It is a storyline, and I can see the crocodile. I can see everything you said now in the painting. I didn't have a clue what it was before I read your piece, so you did a good job explaining the painting, and I like it a whole lot. Did a good job with this, AP.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron.
And
you're welcome.
A raconteur.
Yeah, I like that. If you're going to mention the crocodile, that you managed to bring in the tears as well, because you know, even though it's not necessarily a connected thought, it's one that's mm-hmm. very much associated. I think the two words kind of flow together a lot when you talk about crocodiles and when they're not eating someone.
Yeah,
and the other thing too, because of some of the other subjects that Dali painted, like Hatta had mentioned, the melting clocks, you know, from Peter Pan and the crocodile with the clock in it. So that was an excellent choice when you were constructing this. I'm sure it flitted through your mind when you were putting it together. It makes a lot of sense. Beautifully done.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Next.
Number two is mushrooms. I put an image on the board because that is a photo of an atomic bomb being exploded on Near Aurora Atoll. I'll talk about that in the tick. This is mushrooms. Made me think of this, and it goes a little bit like this. Island removed from satin streets of fashion, place left is distant from memory's passion. Dark side of the moon, past hanging Chagall, or young girls, were cat's teeth heard now. Witness the dirty secret mind view in crowd, starts at an atoll, a main mushroom cloud, thrown into the air in murky brown plumes, 180 times left resume. And fauna destroyed for hundreds of years, caterpillars are crazy, the white coral sears, home to radiation and death within a knoll, French Polynesia, remains of Near Aurora Atoll, in poem.
Wow. This is, wow, very deep and very, very kind of, I don't know what the word is because it's sad and it kind of left me speechless. 180 times left resume. Caterpillars are crazy and white coral sears, home to radiation and death within and all. Really deep. I'm kind of left speechless because of the way you presented it. I didn't see it this way. I kind of went with, I did the same picture, but I really went completely silly on it, and you brought, like, some hard, serious facts, and it's very well written and kind of throws the world in our face, and I can see, like, the whole mushroom cloud that you, because of the other picture, I can see why you took it that way. And it's dark, and it's in your face, and it's raw, and I really kind of like it a lot. Really nice job on that, AP.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we have Raconteur now to comment.
Yeah, I like the mushroom cloud thought. You know, Lewis Carroll and the mushrooms from the story was a little different. So the direction you took it, the other thought of a mushroom, it's really a very sobering one, and you bring in a lot of those facts. The last line, the atoll, that really made me scratch my memory. I think it was it where they did the atomic bomb testing. Was it Bikini Atoll or something like that?
Yeah, Miroa. Yeah,
that was when I did it. Yeah.
Just saying a toll brought that back to me, and that's quite a feat because history was like my worst subject. So you really brought me back to it. Seriously. I mean, you know, of all the stupid jokes and punchlines and everything I remember, it's like historical fact. It's like, you know, what? That was great, though. I really like that reference. Really, details like that, when someone can include something like that, it's kind of, you know, I won't say iconic, but, you know, it's you can't forget something like that as proven by my remembering it. So, yeah, beautiful job.
No, thank you, Rex. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next.
On to the next. Okay. The last one's a little bit more straightforward, Sweet. It's not as political or lateral or anything like that. It's sort of more straight down the line. And so, and I think it's even got a line that Wayne will like. But you never know, you're like in a big city. So this is by Paint Trips, and it goes a little bit like this. Paint trips to flowers and then into people, Alice is long away with bluebirds and steeple. Butterflies they mosey upon the skies brief, and cicada mistakes the creature for a leaf. Upon a tree rooted deep into coarse soils, here branches go hurtling sky with a spoil, and sitting propped looks like a large cow. Nose pink, it's robust and broad as a sow. For here there is pepper and dinner, bacon, coarse skin on coals, cracking the bacon, a feast for all that will be tottering far or near into summer, would taste nice with a beer. End poem.
Yes, it would, but they don't drink beer. No, I like this a lot. I love the imagery. Alice is a long way with bluebirds and steeple, butterflies they mosey upon the sky's brief. You're there, life looks good, large as a cow, nice sow, pepper and dinner, bacon, coarse skin on coals, crackling the bacon. This is really, really nice. And you are going into summer, so that makes a lot of sense for you.
Yeah, you're
headed off to your summer.
Barbecue time.
I'm getting ready for sweatshirts and you know, crackling bonfires and life is good. No, this is really pretty. I like this a lot. Greg and Tor, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like this the story too. I mean, to me, you know, you mentioned dinner bacon, so anything that kind of centers around food gets my juices. makes me hungry and whatnot. So it's welcoming and inviting thought. I kind of want to go and have a barbecue now.
Yeah. Oh, it's a big, yeah. Have a beer thought, Paul. Yeah, absolutely.
I've got a couple more, but I do have something to say or talk to. Do you know who Robert Burns is? Or Poems of Burns. I think his name is
Robbie Burns from Scotland.
Yes. I know nothing of this poet. You know him.
Love Robbie Burns.
You do? Well, I might have something you might enjoy. I happened in the giving away of things in the family heirloom world, picked up a collection of his book, a book of his, I think it is in, I want to say 1908 copy of the Poems of Burns, and I knew nothing of the poet, and now I have a book to read. And I was like, oh,
cool.
I should tell AP, because I figured you might. Yeah, so I have a 1908, or I think that's what it is.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, 1908.
That's a beautiful thing. I did write like Robbie Burns once upon a time. In one of my, you know, quiz show poems, I wrote Robbie Burns form. Mm-hmm. And I had a great time. I loved it. old Scottish.
Is that where Burns Danza comes from?
Probably. But I loved the poem that I did. Everybody gets mine, unfortunately. But it was a lovely poem, and I still like it. So there you go.
Yeah, and the intro or the accompaniment or whatever they call that, I can't, because some of this is very faded, but it's by Lord Rosebery.
Oh, beautiful. I wish I had a frontispiece by Lord Rosebery.
Yes. I don't even know who Lord Rosebery is, so. There you go.
Doesn't matter.
To tell you my
if you're Lord, that's good enough. You've got to the House of Lords,
I want
and
to
you've
tell
got
you
yourself
my latest
Lord.
So, yes, I picked up quite a few things while I was out and about, and some of this was my great-grandmother's, so I was like, oh, there we go. I have to brag about my new books. Yes.
No, you can do
to AP. I also got a book from 1938 through 1945, which was my grandmother's book of poetry. That was handwritten, so I was very excited about that. Yes.
Oh, that's nice too.
Which I have to find a way to preserve because it was just thrown in a box in the family
basement.
Oh,
you do.
Yeah.
You do have to.
Yes. And of course, they wrote in pencil.
Ryman.
Oh, God.
No, this
that
is brown.
Pass?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very. So I've got to type them all up and try to preserve the actual notebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Skye's back with us. She has a poem to read. Hello, Skye.
Excellent.
I have facts to read. I got facts to share, poems to read.
Facts? Poems? Huh? Don't do that.
I've got facts and poems.
We might learn stuff.
I have Stephen's poem. And then I have your poem. Okay?
Well, that's good.
All right.
What do you want? You want facts or poetry? How about we do Stephen's poem, and then we'll listen to your facts.
Good thinking.
And then...
What, you don't want to hear my poem?
And then, we'll do your poem.
Oh, my gosh.
We do.
She saves my poem all the time. I'll be the first caller. She'll be like, Skye, you can read last. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
You left. I was going to put your poem up. You went away.
See what happens, Scott? That'll teach you.
That'll teach me.
Mm.
Where did Hatter go?
Who the heck knows?
He was here and then he went.
The white rabbit took him away.
Pretty much the way it works.
All right, we ready for Stephen's poem? It's very short.
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Silent Cries from Ocean's Depth by Stephen 76. I weep a salted balm that travels down aged cracks of skin through follicle chin onto the pappus of a solipsula. Carried to the ocean and dropped, mixing with sea and traveling deep where the finless suffocate and silently bewail trickles. Lost immediately in the briny current, washed to the rolling surface, evaporating into the air, and gusted to the cotton cumulus clouds, only to be dropped on the roofs of eateries, where the fat eat dried flavorless fins, shredded in spiced broth. End poem.
Okay, that was a great poem. And it goes to the tears picture.
Yes.
That now I've had three people that have written about that, and I can that is just yeah, that was a little low. Sorry about that, Rackentor. But yeah, that's the carried in the ocean and dropped with mixing with the sea and traveling deep where the finless suffocate and silently the walls trickled, because that is. I mean, how do you do that? You just take off a fin and let a fish drown. It makes me so sad just to even think that people would do that. You talk about literally a pool of tears. You just let them drown in water, a fish that can drown in water. I think that's just an excellent poem, Stephen. And I'm glad you brought that, because that is definitely fits that picture. And I would never have brought those two together, but I'm glad that you were able to do that and bring that to us, because it's definitely a statement. And I love how you that painting brought that out. And I know that is something that you fight for and believe in, and that's your soapbox and your love. It's something that you truly love. So thanks for bringing that. And Brad and Tori, your thoughts on that?
I didn't hear it very well. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry you didn't get to hear that very well. Sky, your thoughts?
I love this one. I remember he did a show for finning and shark finning, and you know what these poachers do. You know, they basically, you know, take just the fin and they throw the rest back. And I think a plate goes for like $100, and it's just, you know, he was saying on the show that it doesn't even taste like anything. They have to put a bunch of sauces in to make it taste. So it's just for pure pride and gain. It is ruthless, and it truly is a pool of tears. I agree that statement fits quite accurately to that poem. Really well done. Horrific, but well told, and a great piece of advocacy.
Yeah, absolutely. And AP.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing, and it's been such for many, many years, unfortunately, it's great that Steve Roberts takes for it, because it's just a really sad state of affairs that we would have, you know, that part of only one animal used and the rest tossed away. It's just a complete waste, and it's just something that shouldn't go on. And good on Stephen for standing up for it.
We have had her back.
I'm back.
Unmuted.
We've had her back. And we have one poem left. Yeah, we can hear you, Hat.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
We're down to one poem. We have Miss Guy's poem.
Yay!
Guy!
Just the facts, man.
You
want
to hear my poem?
Yeah.
I do want to hear your poem. I've been waiting all night to hear your poem. Your poem is the most important poem, and I'm so excited for it, because you are literally a genius, and you have facts for me.
Oh, I mean, I just have, random facts that we could talk about. I don't know. Do you know that Dali started painting when he was 6?
No.
Really? I did
and
not.
And he was expelled from art school twice.
Why?
That didn't even happen.
How did you get...
Einstein failed math.
Einstein failed math.
Look it up.
Einstein died of syphilis, so he had more than math on his mind.
You think?
That's how he died?
Yeah.
Oh, well, one of the time it was because he was protesting.
Yes. I've just looked it up now. Yes. Causing
you didn't believe me. Did you see that?
No. I wanted more information.
Go ahead. All right. Oh, go ahead.
No, go.
No, you go, because you were starting.
No, I'm just looking at Wikipedia. You have.
He said he wanted more. He said he wanted more information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what you got?
He was definitely expelled from the San Francisco.
So he went.
Subversive behavior. What was he trying to do? Blow the place up?
She thought you went and investigated. That's what it is.
Blow it up. Wow.
Is he a hard guy to get information on? I never looked him up. Salvador Dali.
Oh, no. Thanks for information. He was off his brain much of the time.
He went for his oral exams and quoted, "I am definitely more intelligent than these three professors, and therefore I refuse to be examined by them."
Yeah. I think he's a very calculated person. The whole thing was an image. He stuck to it. Saw money in it. And he was good. He was good at what he did.
Well, he was very good.
Hey, Stein. You know, he had a cousin that was a baker. They called him Sourdough Dolly.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh,
I had a llama in there, Dolly. I think we lost that. I still think that's
I bet
classic.
He had lentils
had
on
llama
his back.
A llama dig Dolly.
Oh, well, he had an open marriage. That's interesting. That's it. That's all
I
got, sweet.
Yeah.
All right. How about we read a poem?
I thought you needed to get... Did you put it on the board? It's going to make me do it. All right.
Yes.
Oh, you did? Okay. So I kind of tied this into my show for Saturday because I limited in my time of writing. So I wrote it for the same picture that you did, and then also for the Ghostbusters quote, "Do you believe in UFOs, astral projections, mental telepathy, ESP, all that stuff at the end. If you want to read the rest of the quote, you can. This is how it goes. Under pillars and paint by Sky Darko. When I paint myself in wild watermelon, double refracted tinctures of coral lace and ornate pecan butter sequins, I always sit in my chair de la artiste. In the blue skybox of mint moonlight, under a cope mobile made of starling drops, I breathe from pipe a resemblance of self, an astral projection of wonder pillars, floating nimble as treetop ghosts. I slip a bit of music into the back scenes, ethereal phosphines iridescent glow. Can I just give me a second? Let me blow up my screen. Thank you. Iridescent glow. And it's in this ephemeral translucent state I look for myself when myself seems to be playing hide and seek and poem. I'll remember to blow up my screen next time. I'm sorry about that, sweet.
Oh, you're fine. Thank you.
I just wrote it. So usually, to be honest with you, a lot of my reading, I memorize a lot of it because, I mean, you know why.
Right.
Sometimes I get my letters mixed up.
Yes. When I paint myself in wild Now, see, you couldn't say mine. I can't say yours. When I paint myself in wild watermelon. I love that. Wild watermelon. Of coral lace and ornate pecan butter sequins. I just love this. Breathing skybox of mint moonlight. Your alliteration is just beautiful. Then I can see where you start going into Ghostbusters. Treetop ghosts, ethereal, and, you know, translucent states and all this. But I love your ending. I look for myself when myself seems to be playing hide and seek. You know, that's both Alice in Wonderland and a little bit of Ghostbusters. But I really like that ending because it's also kind of got a deep meaning to it, and it can go deep. And I think we all look for ourselves once in a while when we seem to be playing hide and seek with ourselves because we're not really sure where we're at in the universe or where we're out in our own head. And I really found that kind of intriguing. So I really did enjoy that. So thank you for bringing this to me. I really did enjoy it. AT, your thoughts?
I love Ghostbusters. Great great, great, wonderful piece of art and cinema. And so I have to quote a bit more of Dean Melnitz. Oh, that's very fascinating to me. I read a lot myself. Some people think I'm too intellectual, but I think it's a fabulous way to spend your spare time. I also play racquetball. Do you have any hobbies? End quote.
Oh, my God.
I love it. That's when the ladies, they're sitting there, and she's talking to that guy. He's, I'm always serious.
That's
right.
That's it. Love it. Love
he gone.
I love the poem, too, but I love those messages.
Thank you.
And Pat, are your thoughts?
Hold on. I'm sorry. I got reading something else. Skies, right? I'm fascinated with the picture, too. Great picture. Great picture to choose. Like a wild watermelon. What is a wild watermelon? Let's see that. The astral projection of wonder pillars. I was wondering if you got the image for that, the wonder pillars.
Well, it was a caterpillar, but it's a wonder. But it's a wonder pillar because he's from Wonderland.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then astral projection because he's kind of projecting himself outward with that smoke, so he's having an astral projection moment by doing that. And then I just thought wonder pillars. I don't know why. I just thought that was good to do.
That's perfect.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't get it. Wonder pillars. It's a good character, the wonder pillars. Nicely done.
Thank you.
I feel like you're all writing these to me.
Yeah.
It's about you. It's about you. I mean, but it can be considered a play on words because you talk about pillars building and he's very big. So, I mean, he's pillaring over him. So, I mean, you could take it quite literal, but I meant it to be wonder pillars, like caterpillars, but from Wonderland.
I'll be using it.
You can't steal that.
Yeah.
You can steal it. I'm just kidding. You can steal it.
I'll put the side note. Wonder pillars. Okay.
Will he be pilloried if he does?
Ooh.
I'll be honored.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
Willie. All right.
Do I wait for CC to call
anything?
On me?
No, talk. Talk.
Okay, you twisted my arm. Oh, man, Sky, I there's a lot of brilliance in this, I think, because of, being the subject and his view of the world, I guess, it kind of calls it into question. And you almost bring it into focus when you talk about the colors and everything, you know, make us think of the thought process that possibly went through his addled mind when he painted what he did. And that last line really sums it up beautifully. I mean, you could tie it to everything that you said, Ghostbusters and everything else, but if you think of it in terms of Dolly, you know, I think there's a lot of brilliance in the metaphors that you use that just, you know, really beautiful.
Thank you. If I can only say astral thoughts in my own poem together. I was like, oh my God, what did I write in there? Too many P's and H's.
I don't know, what did you write?
You know what happens when there's multiple letters and words? My mind, it's terrible. It's really terrible. And the screen was too small.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I'm obsessing
over
it. All right.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Mm-hmm. I can relate.
You can relate. I know. P's and B's are very difficult for me.
Really?
No.
Yes.
They swim on the screen.
Well, I'm dyslexic, AP. But hey, do you want to hear one other fact?
One more.
Yep. Yep.
One more?
One more.
Okay. Alice in Wonderland was originally titled. Are you ready? Does anybody know this before I say the fact?
I
know it?
No.
Adventures Underground. Alice's Adventures Underground.
Ah.
Can I give you one more fact, too?
But there was also, he almost named it, Alice's Hour in Elfland. Alice Among the Fairies and Alice Among the Goblins. It's true. Go look.
Cool. I have one more fact.
One more.
It's my show and all.
Yeah.
You see that adorable picture of those Ghostbuster guys?
Yes.
That is the Ghostbuster Coalition of Northern Colorado, the Northern Colorado Ghostbusters. The guy on the right, that's my son, Timothy. They are a charity organization. They go to children's hospital. They do cancer. They do all kinds of fundraisers for cancer for various organizations here in Colorado. They're not weirdos that, you know, just dress up as Ghostbusters. They're an actual charitable.
Do they help you?
And they
go
to events as ghosts. They have the ambulance. My son has made all the proton packs that are. They actually work. They have all the buzzes. They do all of that. He's a welder, so he's made all the packs for them. And they're a really cool group. But, yeah, they're all across the world, but they're a charitable organization. And so they do these kind of things.
That's really cool.
So, yeah. That's what he's
if you want to write a poem about them, I'll let you bring it to the Ghostbusters show on Saturday. It will still be considered in theme.
Yeah, this is the North Metro Colorado chapter that he belongs to. But yeah, I've got all kinds of things with him at various events. So that's my facts about Ghostbusters. I don't know if they've ever done a helicopter rescue, but I'm sure they've done various hospitals. So this is at Children's Hospital last year.
Cool.
Very cute.
Isn't he cute?
Who are you going to call?
That's my 38-year-old. My son. This is my actual grown-up boy at 35 years old. Doesn't he look 35? Yeah. So anyway, guys, thank you for coming to the show.
As much as you look 45.
Yeah, I'm not 45. Now I'm a 35-year-old. But anyway, thanks for coming to my show, guys. I had a great time. I really did. This was amazing. But we're going to call it a night. And I'm going to say goodnight. Thanks for joining me for Alice in Wonderland and a little bit of Crazy Salvador Dali. And Sky and Hatter, thanks for being my co-host tonight. AP, thank you for bringing not one, not two, but three amazing poems.
Pleasure.
And, of course, my always standing by my side, back and forth. Huh?
Sorry, I was late.
Rack and tore my... Oh, don't worry about it. You were fine. You were just a few minutes late. And thank you for letting me know.
I thought we were going to hang out.
What?
I thought we were hanging out till 1.
No, we're not hanging out till 1. I'm going to bed, especially since my dog's going to bed early for me. And you can ask Skye. She helped me put my dog to bed early, so... It was very pleasant. I was very kind.
I didn't do anything. I just listened to her yell.
Go to bed.
I love you,
but
sweet.
Yeah, that was fun. I love you guys, too. Love you all. Yes.
Miss Salvador Dali, have some breakfast.
What's going on tomorrow night? I don't know.
The bowl is surreal.
Whoa.
No.
Oh, good Lord. God. What's going on, Hatter, this weekend? Ghostbusters for Sky. What time, Sky?
Well, I'm not sure about tomorrow night.
I like them nice and early.
All right. What's going on Saturday night for AP?
No, that's going to be dependable. That's going to depend also on how he's feeling.
Yeah, I should be okay.
Right.
I think Hatter.
Are you? Okay, cool.
Yeah, need to be all up to it. But we've got treasure. We've got treasure, sweet. Is the topic for the week.
All right, treasure. Good to know.
Treasure.
All right, guys.
Need a lot of things.
Treasure
all right, thanks,
is a lot
show.
Of things. All right, thank you, guys. Had a great time. Bye. Talk to y'all soon. Night, everybody.
Thanks, mate. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for using Love Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody. Goodbye.